firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say?
Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus and join us as our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, shares more with us from the Apostle Paul's words to Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy at chapter 3. As you turn in your Bible and you find your seat, let's catch up with our brothers and sisters who listen to A Través de la Biblia. That's Through the Bible's program in the Spanish language. This week, our world prayer team's been traveling through Latin America, where we've met so many people who, like many of us, have been transformed by digging deeper into the Word of God themselves. To continue the celebration of God's work in our lives, here are a few more great letters that we've received from our brothers and sisters in that region. One listener from Venezuela wrote to say, "I thank God for this program, which for 4 years I have been listening to through the FM radio station Emmanuel 94.1. It has been a great blessing for my life since I have not known any other way to understand clearly God's word. May the Lord bless the people in charge of disseminating this program with all his grace, and I hope that it continues to be transmitted for many more years." And Juana from the Dominican Republic sent us this note. "The reason I write is to testify to the many blessings I received as a child through your radio station. I grew up in a rural area of my country where there was little access to technology. My mother tuned in at night to Radio Transmundial. I learned so much from Through the Bible. I am now 43 years old and have access to so much media and to a lot of literature through the internet, but I still listen and remember with great pleasure the significant contribution you have made and continue to make in my Christian life. God bless you richly." And then our last letter comes from a listener in Bogota, Colombia. "It is amazing how God speaks through his word. You are bold to carry the message throughout the world. Your teaching has encouraged me. Thank you, because I now understand what God wants to tell me. I am filled with motivation to know and serve God through the way you explain the Bible. Thousands of blessings." Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be a witness to the lives that are changing around the world because of your word. We pray specifically today for our brothers and sisters in Latin America who listen alongside us. Please ground us all in our faith and stretch us in our willingness to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we come to the third chapter of 2 Timothy, and here we have the prediction of the apostasy that is coming. Paul here in his swan song, right before his execution in Rome, warns of the apostasy that would come in the last days, and he would give the antidote for that apostasy, which is the Word of God. And this chapter emphasized that, and that's the thing that makes this chapter so important, so meaningful for us today. Now, I want us to look at it with that in mind. I'm reading now, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 3. "This know also." In other words, here's something that he says that this young man, Timothy, should know also. It's something apparently that's very important. And he's telling Timothy what to expect and what is to be the future of the church. And the future actually is not a very bright future, that is, for the organized church down here. And he says here, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And the last days here now, I take it, is a technical term that is used in several places in the New Testament, and it is used in a way that speaks of the last days of the church, that which immediately precedes the rapture of the church. That's the last day. And the last days of the church are not the same as the last days of the nation Israel that's mentioned in the Old Testament. The last days there are, as it's called, the end of the age or the time of the end. That's the great tribulation period, and that's different than the last days here. Now, the apostasy that began in the church in Paul's day would continue. He had already told the Ephesians that after my decease, and Paul now knows he's ready to depart this earth, he says to them in Ephesus when he was there, he said, after my decease, grievous wolves will come in among you, and they won't spare the flock of God at all. They won't be giving you the word of God, but they'll be fleecing you. A great many of these false teachers spend a great deal of time fleecing the sheep. They shear them. And believe me, they shear them pretty close. And very candidly, my feeling is that unless you give folks something, you have no right to ask for anything, because the workman is worthy of his hire. And Paul says, pay your preacher. And if he's a blessing to you, then you ought to give. And you ought to give, I think, where you get your blessing. I believe that's quite reasonable. You don't go down and buy groceries at one of the supermarkets and then go over to the other supermarket and pay them over there. That would be foolish indeed. In fact, they wouldn't permit it. The business world is rather hard-nosed about these things. But a great many folk today get their blessing one place and they pay in another place, which I think candidly is entirely wrong. But after all, that's up to them. Now, let me continue. This I know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, these perilous times, it means they're grievous or hard times that are coming. Now, that doesn't look like the conversion of the world, does it? Doesn't look like the church is going to bring in the millennium. It doesn't look like that the church is going to convert the world. The Bible never taught that. That is the pipe dream of a great many idealists and a great many folk that have lived like the ostrich with their head in the sand and never faced reality. Now notice what's coming in the last days. And we have 19 different descriptions given, and this is an ugly brood. None of it's very nice, but we want to look at them because it, I think, is probably the best picture of the present hour that you'll find anywhere in the Scripture. Now, I make a great deal of the fact that I do not think that we're seeing Scripture being fulfilled today. I think we're moving and have moved into the last days of the church, but that's not to give dates. And my reason for saying that is that these things that are indicated here have appeared. Now, I think that if you go back in the history of the church, there'd be times when you could find certain of these things that were in evidence, but I don't think you could ever find a period in which all of them would be so manifest as they are today. Now, will you notice them, and I'll begin reading them, and we'll have a word to say concerning them. First of all, men shall be lovers of their own selves, that is, lovers of self, or self-lovers, if you please. And this is the mark of the last days of the church here on earth. Now, this is very much in evidence today, and it's in evidence in all parts of our contemporary culture. I suppose that if there is one thing that is in evidence, this is it. I was reading an article just the other day by a newspaper correspondent who's been in Washington for many years. He is a liberal, it is true, but he has given a great deal of factual information from time to time. It's only when he becomes an editor that he gives you a bigoted and biased report. When he's reporting facts, he does very well. And here is one of the things that he said, and he didn't mention any particular party. He just said the thing that characterizes Washington and those that are in position there, and it's been true for the past 25 years, the one thing that they want the reporter to do is to praise them. They want to be praised, and that they practically insist upon it. And there are reporters that he said would show that favor to certain individuals, and they would be rewarded in return. And then there were reporters that would show favor to the other group, and they would be rewarded in turn. But the thing that characterized the entire complexion of politics today is men want to be praised. Now, that's not confined to Washington. The one thing that I think would characterize Hollywood is that it probably is one of the greatest places for scratching backs that you'll find anywhere. This actor publicly is to say something nice about the other one, and then the other one in turn will return the favor. Now, this is not just confined to Hollywood. You find it, I think, in probably every walk of life today. I notice schools do it, and Christian schools do it. They have a way of giving out honorary degrees, and if this man, he boosts a school, well, they boost him by giving him an honorary degree. And that is a good case of back-scratching that goes on. And you can move that today, actually, right into the church. As Paul's going to say here in this epistle, they want teachers with itching ears. They want their ears scratched. They want to be complimented. And then they get up and compliment the congregation. They tell how wonderful people are. They don't tell them that they're sinners. They tell them that they're wonderful, how wonderful the officers are. And it may be a bunch of rascals, you can't tell. The interesting thing is today that self-love is the thing that characterizes this present hour in which we live. And probably there never has been a time when we have had so much of it as today. The second word is covetous, and I think that follows the other. Lovers of self lead to lovers of money, because I tell you, this old nature likes to have a lot of money spent on it, and they are lovers of money. Now, you remember he said the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not the money. It's our attitude and relationship to it. In other words, it's how you get it and how you use it, how you spend it. Covetous. And covetousness reveals itself not only in the acquisition of wealth, but in the use of it. I knew a very wonderful Christian man. He was a wealthy man. Looked like everything he touched would turn to gold. He had that Midas touch. And somebody said something to him one day in my presence about how he seemed to accumulate money. And he made the statement. He says, I'm not interested in money. I'm interested in what it'll do. And that had to do with the business world and also the Christian world, because he certainly used it for the glory of God. Covetous. And that is the love of money. Boasters. Now, that word has in it the idea of swaggerers. You can tell a proud man sometime by the way he walks. And they walk like a peacock. And this is the idea. They're swaggerers. And then the next tier, which is the fourth, proud. That means haughty. And the fifth, blasphemers, or better, railers. There are some folk that are just complainers. Complainers all the time. And it's like a fellow one time, his wife said to him, she says, you know, says everybody in town's talking about the Smiths' quarrel. And some of them, she said, are taking his part and some are taking her part. And the husband, he chimed in, he says, well, he says, I suppose a few eccentric individuals are minding their own business. Always finding fault, always poking your nose into somebody else's business. The railer, that's what you have here in this word. And then the sixth one here, disobedient to parents. Now, there's no use laboring these points. They're so self-evident today. And certainly this is one that is in evidence disobedient to parents. We've got actually thousands of boys and girls, just young teenagers, out on their own. They've left home, disobedient to parents. They may be justified, but it still is true. They're disobedient to parents. Now, the next one, unthankful. And again, what a revelation this is today. Some people accept from others without returning thanks. They accept everything from God and never return thanks to Him. And then, let me keep on here, unholy. That is, they're profane. They're actually against God in their conversation, in their manner of life. And then 9, without natural affection. Unnatural affection obviously refers to the homosexual, because Paul says in Romans 1, verse 27, and likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. Now, there's no way in the world of interpreting that other than God says that that is sin, and it should be recognized as sin. For a while, the homosexual, like the drunkard, was considered to be sick, but today he's received as a normal individual. But the Word of God says that's unnatural. Truce breakers. And truce breakers mean there are certain people you can't get along with. They're irreconcilable. They just won't let you get along with them. I saw that little saying I told you about in that restaurant out in West Texas, one of those little oil towns. It says, you can't please everybody, but we try. Well, you can't. There are a lot of people you can't please. We find out that actually, even us through the Bible radio program, there's some people we don't please. I don't know why, but we don't. But that is the meaning of this word here. Then false accusers. And believe me, friends, that abounds today. Incontinent. That means without self-control. That, again, characterizes many today. Fierce actually means savage. And today, our city streets have become asphalt jungles and not safe to go. Why? Because men are returning again, becoming savages, and despisers of those that are good. That means haters of the good. Believe me, there's evidence of that abroad. Traitors, that means betrayers. There's some folk you don't dare trust today. Heady, and that means reckless. High-minded. That means blinded by pride or drunk with pride. Heady, high-minded. And then lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And today that characterizes mankind. Never has there been a time when so much money has been spent out in order to provide pleasure. Athletic events, entertainments, these are the things that are attracting millions of people today. And that is exactly the route Rome took when it went down. They provided grain and circuses for the mob. And then Rome fell. We're living in that kind of a day. Personally, I love to participate in athletics. Always did. Tried to do everything I could. But I never could understand this type of athletics is where it's sitting and beholding it. And I never thought that it was very exciting to go out to the Colosseum and sit with 85,000 people to watch 22 men out there working for $15,000 apiece. Now, I'd like to have been out there myself if I'd been younger. But I want to say to you, I'm not even about to go out there to watch them any more than I want to stop and watch the ditch digger. In fact, I'd rather watch the ditch digger because he's not as money hungry. I don't blame these men, but the point is, there are multitudes that are spending fortunes providing entertainment. Now, here is that which characterizes the visible church, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of it. From such, turn away. And now, this is the day when men are going through the rituals of religion, but they lack life and reality. Now, he says you'd avoid that sort of thing. And may I repeat this? If you are in a dead, cold, liberal church, and you're a believer, my question is, what are you doing there? When the Word of God says avoid those things. Now, across this land today, there are many wonderful pastors and wonderful churches. I've been reading you some letters. I could read you hundreds of letters from these wonderful men across this country today that are standing for God. And why aren't God's people standing with and for these men? May I say to you, the Word of God's very clear here. Now he says, for of this sort are they who creep into houses, lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with various lusts. And there have been folk, and that silly women means, I think, silly women of both sexes. There are people that have been going to Bible conferences for years. I've met them. And some of them don't know any more about the Word of God than they did when I met them 25 years ago. You wonder what they're doing, what's happening, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Oh, my friend, if you find yourself in that category today, get down on your knees and ask God to forgive you. Now, he says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. And I'm going rapidly now. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord deliver me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's clear as the noonday sun, but I'm going over it next time. But I do want to say just this, that I believe that we're moved also into an orbit today where you're going to be persecuted for your faith. And this is not just the wild statement of a preacher here in Pasadena, California. Melvin Ladd, several years ago, up in San Francisco at the Republican convention, long before he had become Secretary of Defense, made this statement, and I do not know under what circumstances he made it, but I thought it was strange coming out of a convention. He says, in this world, it is becoming more and more unpopular to be a Christian. Soon, it may become dangerous. Now, I didn't make that statement. He made that statement. At least the press reported that he did. And I want to say to you today, friends, I think that we may be able to, in the days that are ahead, see the separation of the men and the boys, those who are really standing for Jesus Christ and those who are not. And I think this is something that every believer should take an inventory of his life. How far am I willing to go for Jesus Christ? What would I really be willing to give up? Rather heart-searching, isn't it? Now, I'm very sorry to have to say to you, I don't come up with too good an answer, but I do want to serve him, and I love him, and I'd like to say to him, I hope he'll give me grace to bear if and when the time comes. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, that's good advice from Dr. McGee. Have you taken an inventory of your life? You know, God may not be asking you to go to the ends of the earth or to suffer persecution for his sake, but we should all be asking ourselves, how far am I willing to go for Christ? And what am I willing to surrender for him that he would give me something better? Now, if today's broadcast stirred up a lot of questions, and if you're asking what will happen next in God's program for the world, I'd like to suggest a booklet by Dr. McGee that may help. The booklet's called What Is This World Coming To? And it's available for free download in the resources section of our website, ttb.org. There you'll also find many other resources that'll help you understand God's Word, including our newest featured booklet titled What to Do When Life is Hard. Or if we can help you find something particular, just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now, over the weekend, we'll take a quick break from our daily broadcast of Through the Bible, but I hope that you'll join me for the Sunday sermon as Dr. McGee continues our study of 2 Timothy with his message titled, God's Answer to Problems in Times Like These. To listen online or find out if your station carries the Sunday sermon, visit us at ttb.org, and be sure to join us on Monday as our daily study with Dr. J. Vernon McGee resumes. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I pray that you're filled with God's grace, mercy, and peace. Until we meet again.
Jesus made it all. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.